Welcome to the Stand Up for Migrants podcast, which brings you inspiring projects that help change the narrative on migration towards one of hope, inclusion, and a larger us. In this episode, titled Create a Vision of the World You Want to See, we are going to look at why creating a vision of hope helps inspire us to understand a better world is possible. Sape is a Swiss-French artist who makes large-scale, realistic frescoes on grass and sand. He uses an ecologically friendly paint that is non-toxic to the environment. Sape points to how art can help us join together across boundaries. Recently, he created a massive outdoor fresco at the United Nations building in New York, which showed two young children drawing the world they hope to see. With issues as divisive as migration can be, we can help more people imagine a more inclusive world is possible by creating our own vision of hope. Sape's work is firmly situated in this understanding. And I'm your host, Christina McGilvery. Welcome to the Stand Up for Migrants podcast. Can you tell me a bit about your own story? Where are you from? Tell me a bit about your childhood.
I'm born in a little city in the east of France, which is Belfort. It is 60,000 people. Not that big, but not that small. But when I was 14, I tried to make some graffiti, some painting walls. And I think it was like a revelation for me. With art, I can express myself and I can say, oh, I'm involved in society and can pass some messages. Then I start to paint in some canvas. And in the same time, I start to be a nurse. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. That moved me a lot, you know, because when you are 18 years old and you are linked with suffering and death, your perception of life changed radically. Mm. You know, I was starting to think, what is the meaning of human being? You know, I start to read a lot of books about Buddhism and ecology. Mm. And that's why I start to paint on grass. Mm. Because I was living in this green area. My parents have a little house, but everywhere around this.
Is it like one of those Sound of Music areas, sort of? Meaning big rolling green hills and mountains.
Like exactly.
Picturesque Switzerland.
Exactly.
That's where you grew up.
This is it.
Yeah.
So, at the same time, I thought, oh, I think that my graffiti and my work in the street is not impactful as I would like, because there's so many visual pollution in our city. Nobody have a look on what I'm doing, and I think that the meaning of making art is to grab the attention of the people. So I thought I didn't find anybody to paint directly on the grass with an eco-friendly paint.
It is a pretty novel idea.
I don't know, but I found it cool. So first of all, I tried with spray cans, which is not at all eco-friendly, just to see if the medium works. Yeah. You know, grass, because it's very strange to paint on grass. So I thought, oh, that worked. And then I try with a drone, and I thought, cool, I can do huge-scale artwork, and I will take the picture from the drone. And I loved the concept that I didn't see nothing from the ground. But when you take, like, a little step behind, I thought it's like in life, when you are in a situation, you don't see exactly all the point of the situation, but when you take one step behind, you can see the global situation, it's better.
Like all of us, when we're so close to a situation, you can't actually make out what it is, or you can't define it very well or see what it is, but being able to pull back and see it from the air,
yes,
is how you can see the global perspective. That's very cool.
When I start to paint, I took 1 year to invent the paint, because it's very hard, you know, because I have to find an eco-friendly paint that works on grass. And so for 1 year, I make some square in the garden of my parents and to see the evolution of the paint over time, you know, to learn.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I took 1 year to do it.
What are the paintings of?
The French shrine is called Beyond Walls. It's a huge project, and the idea is to create, in symbolic, the biggest human chain in the world, to speak about how it is important to find a global solution to overpass the issues that we have. So this is a project that traveling city to city all around the world.
It's hands joined together.
Yes.
And these hands are joined, and you've done it in many different places. Paris, where all have you done this installation?
Today we did 10 steps of this project.
Wow.
So we did this 10 steps last March.
Hmm.
So we did Paris in the front of Eiffel Tower. I'm very proud about that because it was the first time in history that Champ Mars was closed to welcome a piece of art.
That's
very,
very cool.
In June 2019. Then we did Andorra, which is a little country between France and Spain. Then we went to Geneva, then 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Very cool.
So in Berlin.
Mm.
Then we went to Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou, then Ivory Coast. Then we went to Turin, Italy.
Mm.
Then Istanbul. Beautiful one. Sorry, but it was a crazy one for me because Istanbul is the only city in the world which is made on two continents.
Yeah.
So we did an artwork in Europe, one artwork in Asia to link the two continents, and one directly on the Bosphorus with a huge platform traveling across the Bosphorus.
That's so cool. So you had one artwork on the Asia side.
Yeah.
One on the Europe.
Yeah.
Side, European side. And then I saw it was almost like a barge. Was it
a platform?
It was
yes.
a platform.
A huge one.
It was a huge platform.
A huge one.
And then on that one, the hands were joined, right?
Exactly.
And then you traveled down the river, down
exactly.
the Bosphorus.
It's not a river, finally. But
yeah, that's true.
No, but it's a huge river.
Yeah.
No, and then we did Cape Town. South Africa, and we finally do Benin.
Hmm.
It is it.
That's very cool. And the idea behind the Beyond Walls is that we need to work together to come up with solutions to problems.
I think the first thing is exactly as you said, how it is important to find global solution because, you know, we are in a polarizing world.
Hmm.
You know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that scared me a lot because we are in a hyper-linked world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every people is connected. So for me, we can't find a solution alone. You know, there was a philosopher from Brazil who said, "L'universel, c'est le local, moins les murs." So that means something like universality is the thing was close to you without walls. So that means, I think, that a global world doesn't mean lose our identity.
Globalization doesn't mean that we all have to be the same in any way, right?
Or exactly. That exactly. Sometimes I feel that people think about globalization that mean dilution.
Hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Just we are like all specific country, people, culture, but we have to learn to live together hands in hands.
Yeah. Which is literally the image that you're making with the Beyond Walls project.
Exactly. This is it. If you put your TV on, you always think, you always see crying, troubles, issues, but there's not that much media speaking about what's happening in the world in positive, you know? We have to highlight that.
Yeah.
Just not only the bad things.
Yeah.
I always say that I go in, I'm working in the way that I'm looking for.
Hmm.
If I'm always looking for bad things, I will go in the bad things. If I'm always looking in positive way, I think it will be better.
Yeah. Well, and that was reflected in what your work, because your work is this vision of hope.
Yes.
At UN Human Rights, what we often talk about is we see a lot of negative things and things that are in the media, in politics, you know, just general news and discussion that is very negative. And in the UN Human Rights Office's toolbox, you can find ways to help make this shift from a negative narrative towards a more positive and inclusive vision of the world. And this example from the toolbox always helps me understand why this shift is important. Imagine you are directing a person to create a painting, and you tell them all the things they should not include in the painting. For example, I do not want detention centers. I do not want inhumane border security controls. I do not want exclusion and discrimination based on gender, race, migration status, or ethnicity. Now, imagine you shift to telling the artist what you want in the painting. I want to see a world where children are able to go to school no matter where they are from, and families are able to stay together. I want people to be safe and have the right to move freely and safely in the world. I want to see a world in which everyone is treated fairly and as equals, and where the spirit of welcoming and kindness is a defining feature of our societies. Now that is a much more inspiring painting that shows your audience a vision of the world you want to create.
One movie that moved me a lot, I don't know if it was in English, but it was a kind of normal movie, but it's in French is Demain, and in English is Tomorrow. But it was recorded in a positive way. And when you go outside from the cinema, you're like, I will change the world. Really, like that. like that. And I thought, okay, it's cool. You know, when it's too dramatic, I don't know, that make me in a bad mood. And I don't want to change the world. You're like, oh, the world is in trouble, so I can't do nothing. Well, but if there's some people inspiring you, I think you will follow the line.
Yeah.
I think. So it's better.
Why do we need those visions of hope? Your work is very hopeful.
Well, I would say, sorry, but I always say that I'm born in a good star. I think my person is optimistic. I got this luck, you know. Even when I was with death, other nurse, and this kind of things, I stayed optimistic. My message is in an optimistic way, because I really think that we have to speak about that. There's too many troubles, too many issues in the media. So finally, I try to make the balance in the other side. My second series is called Human Story. And I put child of all people, most of the time, to speak about some solutions, some issues, some things that moved me. And again, always in a positive way, an optimistic way. Here in UN, the project that I did with is linked with this series. I love to speak about children, because I really think that when we speak about children, we speak about us. What responsibilities do we have to them? What world we will let finally to them? So that's why I love the kindness and the innocence. Feel that it's very poetic. That's why I'd like to paint child.
And today we saw what you've done here at the UN building, which is a wonderful, it's two children.
Yeah.
Can you describe the work for me?
Sure. For me, UN is like a round table where the different states are able to come to express their issues and to find a solution together.
Yeah.
And this is exactly when I feel in my work, you know. That so for me, I'm very proud to be here, because I feel very linked with the idea of UN.
Yeah.
So to understand the artwork here in New York, I have to speak about the first step of the story, because I did the first step in Geneva last year. And at Geneva, so in the European headquarters in Geneva, I painted two children, drawing with a pencil, them their ideal world. And this world is made of humans, nature, animals, ends in end. And that make like a round chain, you know. Here in New York, for the second step, they start to create in 3D them ideal world that they drawed in Geneva.
Ah.
So from a drawing in Geneva, now they are creating, make it to life, finally, them world.
Very
and this is a story in some step, you know. And here there is like a dove in the center of the fresco, which is a symbol of peace. And the meaning is like we have to link this, I think, peace with nation. Again, there's this idea to make all the things together in the respect of nature if we want to have a bright future.
Yeah.
This is the main story.
That's lovely.
Thank you. And we will try to make the final step in Nairobi in next February. And I will try to make something real. This is the final step.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
so the first one in Geneva, the children were drawing the world they wanted to see.
Yes.
Here what we see is they're starting to create it. So they have the chalk and then they're also using origami.
Exactly.
To start to create it.
Yeah.
And then the third one, which is the vision of their world.
Yeah.
Which is them, now they have built the world.
Yes.
And that will hopefully happen in Nairobi.
Exactly. It's cool. In February.
That's
very cool. It's cool. I'm very proud of that. Very proud.
At UN Human Rights, one of our first steps that we actually try to advise people that work on human rights is to think about what is your vision of the world?
All right.
How do you positively define the world you want to see? And much of that is using hope and kindness. I think what you just said is like a literal manifestation
yes.
of that process of the kids actually building the world that they want to see. For our folks who are listening to the podcast, what is one way they can take some of this and use it in their own everyday lives?
I think this is, you know, a tricky question because I mean, I don't know who I am to say to somebody how we have to keep hope, you know. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm born in a good star, and I hope that some people will be inspiring by our values and what we try to do. You know, most of my project is own self-finance. People think, what is this guy doing? It's kind of crazy, but he go under his dream, you know, to this dream. I'm dreaming something, and I do everything that I want. To do it. And I think the only thing that I could say, if you dream about something, just keep your determination, and that's it. Do everything to do it, to make it happen.
Do you have an inspiring project or vision of the world to share that helps change the narrative on migration? We would love to hear from you on Facebook or Twitter. To learn more about some of the strategies we discussed in today's podcast, you can consult our online toolbox on narrative change on migration. The Stand Up for Migrants podcast is produced by the UN Human Rights Office.